Those are your prayers this morning. I find that it's good for me often to stop and take inventory of my life, where I am. You know, and I can do a real quick one. I haven't sinned, so everything's good. Or I can do it in depth, and I might find there's some places that God would have me to make adjustments in my life. And I find something about myself with these kind of inventories. I don't know how many of you listen to Dave Ramsey, but I like to listen to it. He's given financial advice. But you know, I learned something about myself as I listened to that. I found out my reason for listening is if I listen long enough, I find somebody that's in worse shape than I am. And you know what it does? It makes me feel good about myself. His first instructions, don't spend more than you make. I could take that and apply it to my life. But if I'll keep on listening for more stories of people calling in, I'll find somebody that's deep in debt. And all of a sudden something happens to me. I'm better off than that one is. That's not a good way to take inventory. Especially when I'm dealing with my soul for eternity. Because, you know, it's real easy to do the same thing in an inventory about my soul. Is instead of looking into the mirror and seeing who I am, the tendency, and maybe it's just human tendency or maybe it's my own problems, is if I'm not careful, I will look around long enough to find somebody that I say, yes, I know I got some problems, but I'm better, I'm doing better than that one. This morning, I would like to take an inventory of where I am. And what I have to do that is I got to check, what am I measuring against? Because it says, they that measure themselves among themselves and compare themselves by themselves, that's not a wise thing to do. But you know what? It is so easy to do it. For me to, as I'm doing this inventory, to measure by someone else. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I need to back off and I need to tell the Lord, I would like for you to help me with this inventory. I'd like for us today to take a look at, for me to take a look at, where am I with love and mercy? You know, the best inventory I can take is to compare myself with God and the love and mercy that He has shown. So I'd like to start with a verse. In Jeremiah 31 and 3, it says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I think about that word draw. With loving kindness, His desire is to draw me. There's a lot of difference between draw and drive. I have tried it before with animals, with cows. I need them to move from this field to the other, and I'm in a hurry, so I get me a stick, and I take off behind them. I know which way I need them to go, but somehow they decide they're not going that way. I can spend a whole lot of time, or I can go and get a bucket of feed and just walk in front of them, and they'll line up and come right on with me. As I start measuring myself, I start asking the Lord, Lord, would you help me as I'm dealing with others to learn how to draw instead of drive? I've got the perfect example. God said it before me. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And I thought about this drawing power. And I've given this example before, but it's the best one that has come to me, and I try to think of it often. I had on my job, we had a big motor that needed to be replaced. So we were able to work it around and get it replaced. The old one weighed about 750 pounds. And so we used a hoist to get it up in the back of the company truck, and I took it down to the scrap metal place. And he told me, he said, you just take it on back here to a certain place and just push it off and come on back and weigh in again. I said, I'm sorry, I can't budge it. It's like it's stuck to the bottom of my truck. I don't have a lift to lift it with. He said, okay. He said, go over there by that crane and he'll help you. Well, that crane had a magnet on it. And I visualized the man that was driving the crane. He loved his job because he motioned, I'll take care of you. And on those motors, a 750-pound motor, it had a little ring, a little steel ring that probably was no more, it was no more than about a quarter inch thick, 3/8 of an inch at the most. And he swung that magnet out over the top of the truck, and he held the magnet up several feet off of the motor, and then he increased his power. The magnetism that magnet would draw. And that 750-pound motor, it was like it leaped out of the truck. It jumped up to the magnet, and it hung off of the tip of that ring. It suspended itself 750 pounds off of maybe just not even my fingernail worth of metal holding it for a few seconds until it swung up and latched onto the magnet. You know, I think about this. If I be lifted up from the earth, he's got the power to draw all men. You know, that magnet, as impressive as it was, it had its limits. It could lift so many things, and then its magnetism would not pick up another thing. But there is power in God. The magnetism is there. He has the power to draw all the world. And yet, he limits it. He doesn't limit it. Maybe we limit it as people. I'd like to go to a verse in Revelations. It's in the 3rd chapter and in the 20th verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I think about this Jesus that says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And he's standing at the door and knocking. He's got the power to tear it off the hinges and come on in and make us do whatever he wants us to do. But instead, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him. I'll sup with him and he with me. Jesus, that has all power, waits for me to open up the door. I think from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve were created, God desired a relationship more than just to show his power. He desired a relationship from somebody that would return it from their own will. With all the power that he has to be able to overcome people's will and draw them to him, he waits. He limits it for us to respond to it. And I know that there is a time when mercy will end. God's mercy will end. We see that in 2 Peter 3 and 9. 2 Peter 3 tells us there's scoffers that will come in the last day. And they're saying, where is the sign of his coming? We've been hearing all our life that the end is coming. And he says, it will come. But here's what's happening. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. And so he holds off judgment for now. And mercy is where we are. Mercy is extended to us. And as I look at these scriptures, I want to think about myself compared to God. The mercy that he's extending... Do I extend that same mercy and love to those around me? I'd like to look at another verse in Luke, the 13th chapter, and in the 6th verse. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, He came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? I think about this as being God at a time that now mercy is about ready to run out on an individual basis. There's other trees that are bearing fruit, and they will continue on. So this isn't the end of all time. This is us on an individual basis. And God saying, I've tried, I've worked with this, and it's running out now. You know, there are amazing stories in the Bible about times where God's patience ran out with people, to where he told Moses, step back. I'm going to destroy this people, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. Well, you know what? If Moses had anything down inside, he would have stepped back and said, go for it. We're fixing to have a new people. But instead, Moses was able to, he had a relationship with God to where he was able to tell him, don't do it. And it said the Lord repented him of what he had planned to do. Could it be that in the time we're living in, God would be coming to a place where I'm ready to destroy this? And my feeling is, Lord, it's about time. You should have done it a few days ago. All this wickedness around me. Thought about Abraham. When God told him, I'm going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to check this out and see if it's as wicked as I see it to be. And Abraham starts pleading with God, would you extend your mercy? This one says in this story, I've been seeking fruit here, and I haven't found it in these 3 years, so it's time for it to be cut down. But the dresser of the vineyard. I think about Jesus coming along and saying, let it alone this year till I dig about it and dung it, and then if it bear fruit, well. But I think about the mercy that Jesus is extending even today to me. And I want to have that same mercy extended to others. You know, sometimes when we're teaching what to do and what not to do, you know what, if I do it for that reason only, I don't have the peace that comes from it. There is something much deeper than that. There's a song we sing. I'd like for you to sing it with me, a couple verses. While sleeping careless on the brink of an eternal woe, I felt the touch of Jesus' love, and oh, it charmed me so. I hear thy voice and tender love so sweetly calling me. Thy dying love has won my heart. I yield, O Lord, to thee. I know my sins have pierced thy heart. O Jesus crucified, and now thy love is breaking mine. I bow to him who died. I hear thy voice in tender love, so sweetly sweetly calling me. Thy dying love has won my heart. I yield, O Lord, to Thee. Won by dying love. And you would think I would never forget it. It would always be the driving factor in my life. But you know, it is so easy as we go through life to have that love and mercy extended to me, and yet I fail to extend it to others. We have an example of that in Matthew in the 18th chapter, where the servant was called up because he owed such a great debt, 10,000 talents. He'll never be able to pay it off. And since he couldn't, his wife, his family, everything he has is going to be sold and payment be made. And he did what I would have done. Begged for mercy. And was forgiven. And you would think that would stick with him for years. Everyone he meets, the picture would always come up to him of the mercy that was extended to him. But you know, as I look at that story, it's almost like he was on his way home from that meeting with his master. When he meets somebody that owes him a little bit. And so quickly, he forgot the debt that he had been forgiven of. It's so easy to do. It's so easy when I'm wrong that that's what is foremost in my mind, instead of the love and the mercy that was extended to me. And it tells about how he not only just said, well, hey, when you get a chance, I'd appreciate it if you pay me. But instead he said he took him by the throat, had no mercy on his fellow servant. And I think of how that story ends. He got called back into account again and says, since you didn't forgive, then I bring back up the debt again. And all the happiness that he had because he had been forgiven was gone now, because so quickly he lost because he didn't extend that mercy. And then it comes on down to where that story doesn't even close out until Jesus talks to me. He says, so likewise will your heavenly Father do to you if ye from your hearts don't forgive every man his trespasses. You know, I find I need to take inventory for this, because it is so easy for something to rise up within me. It is so easy when we see the sins of our country around us that I have something rise up in me. It is time for judgment on this one. James and John had the same problem. When they went through that city of the Samaritans and they did not receive Jesus, they had something rise up. Lord, I tell you what, how about it? What about if we just call down fire out of heaven and destroy them? And he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I came to save them. And he just moved on, went on to the next place. I thought of this story again as I thought of this. Madeline O'Hare, an atheist, way back in the 60s, not only chose just for herself to be an atheist, but she decided she's going to promote it throughout the land just as much as she can. And because of her, the Supreme Court ruled that Bible reading in schools would end. And that was back in the 60s. And she didn't stop there. She just promoted it throughout her life. You know, we heard a verse that said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, those hearts of those kind of people they continue on in evil. But we need to remember God has control of all that. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And you know, I should have gone on and said, Lord, show mercy to her while she's breathing. Give her an opportunity. But one night, as I was a young person living at home, had the radio turned on, and she was at a college, and she was talking to the young people of that college. And she said, "Tonight I want to prove to you that there is no God." She said, "I desire, if there is a God, I want him to strike me dead right here." And you know what my response was? "Whoo, Lord, you got your opportunity right here. You can impress a lot of people. There'll be a lot of people will believe on you if you do just what she's asked you to do." And then there was silence. You know, to me, I almost expected to hear the boom, but there was silence. And then she said, "I told you there is no God." And she went on living. Because there's a merciful God. You know, he was not willing for her to perish. So he gave her some more time. And it went on to where her story closed out because one of her co-workers at the atheist place that she was working killed her. You know, there's a cost to not living for God. There's cost for not believing in God. Because, you know, believing in God puts us under his control, and then I start realizing he has some parameters for me to live my life by. And I look at the Ten Commandments. Some of those are about my relationship with God. But, you know, a lot of those were to guide me in my dealings with my fellow man. You know, Madeline O'Hara probably never realized, you know what, those Ten Commandments that I want to see gone, they could be my protection for my life if people around me would obey them and say, "Thou shalt not kill." But instead, the man that worked for her murdered her. And it was like 6 years before they ever even found her body. Not just her, but her son, his daughter, just several of them that were in there. You know, we need to realize vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord, and then beg for mercy for those around us. In the time that we're living in, with wickedness so great, same-sex marriage at the level that it is, you know, I can almost come to the place where, "Lord, it's time for you to show who you are." What he's saying is, I still want to extend mercy a little bit longer. You know, when the Bible was written, it could have been to exclude anything that is negative. We will only put positive stories in the Bible. But it says those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So he put in the ones that are we learn from them what not to do, and others that we can follow the example of them. One of those that the only thing I see about the whole story is for me to learn what not to do is the book of Jonah. I think about from the very beginning when the call came to him, and I understand he knew who the people of Nineveh were. He had a fear to go, and so he ran a different way. But when he was reprimanded, when he ended up in the belly of the fish, immediately he cried out for mercy. "Got weeds wrapped around my head. Lord, I tell you what, I'll pay my vows. Salvation is of the Lord." And God heard that cry. He heard that prayer, and he performed a miracle. It says he caused the fish to throw him up, and it wasn't 5 miles out in the ocean. It says he threw him up on dry ground and then got the call again to go give his message. And he went. He obeyed this one. It was a very short message, was all that he had to give. Yet 40 days... and Nineveh will be destroyed. He gave that message. He did what God told him to do. And it's amazing to me how the message was received by such a wicked people. It says they heard the message and fear came on them. They chose to repent And it came from the king all the way down. This decree, for 3 days, nothing eats, nothing drinks. Not the children, not the animals, not the people, nothing. Let's fast. And what they were saying, it's peradventure God would have mercy. The same God that had mercy on Jonah just a few days earlier. And Jonah was so glad for it. And it said here again, the Lord repented. He turned from what he planned to do to those people. 120,000 people. You take a city of 120,000, and Brother Sanchez tells us about going through Juarez and preaching to them. This one would come to you. 120,000 of them beg you to pray for them. And yet I look at Jonah's response. You know, he had to have heard the repenting, the begging for mercy. There had to have been some noise from the animals that for 3 days were not allowed to have water. Children that were in need. All that cry coming up, and it could affect the God of heaven and not affect Jonah. Jonah says in his heart, I'm going on, I'm waiting to see this destruction. And when he realized that the mercy of the Lord had been extended to those people, it says he was angry. That is an amazing story. Had the opportunity to have 120,000 people camp meeting, and he's upset that they have turned. You know, that's human nature. If we don't let the Lord cause us to take inventory. And when the Lord comes back to deal with him, and he says, I do well to be angry. This is why I didn't want to come here in the first place, because I know you have mercy. It makes me angry today that you have mercy. You know, when he was in the belly of the fish, he didn't say to the Lord, I'll tell you what, it's going to make me mad if you have mercy on me. He was begging for it. Please, Lord, look down in mercy on me. But just a few days later, now mercy is being extended by God Almighty on 120,000 people. And it makes Jonah angry. I say, Lord, help me to take inventory of my life, the love and the mercy that I can extend to others. Because I think of this, if a book were written of my life, the times that the Lord has had mercy on me, and then it also writes the truth about how I have had mercy or not had mercy on others around me, how would that book read? If Jonah had known, we'll be talking about him thousands of years later. And about the only thing we can glean from his book is, don't do it like that. Looks like it had been a whole lot different for him. And yet, you know, I can go through the same thing, not realizing, you know, my story is being written. Maybe it's only to the person that I did not have mercy with. Maybe he's the one that goes away, realizing mercy was not extended to me. Lamentations 3 and 22, it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new to me every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The story of that servant that owed so much, the beginning of it was that his Lord forgave the debt. You know that story, just before that story was given, the reason it was given was because Peter had a question to ask Jesus. How often do I need to forgive my brother? 7 times in a day? How about, is that enough? You know, 7 times seemed like that's too much for a day. But he just went ahead and spread it on out. There'll be no limit to it. Just be willing to forgive. And how he closed it out caused it to not just be for Peter, but for us of all times. If you don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive. There was times when I lived at home that Mom and Dad would give me an attitude adjustment, a tune-up, because my thinking was going in the wrong direction. Dan, if you continue thinking this way and then out on your own one day, it won't be profitable for others. And so they would bring me in and adjust it. You know what? Just because I'm an adult and Mom and Dad's gone doesn't mean I don't need it adjusted today. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. You know, I can see someone else going astray and realize, I need to realize, you know what, Lord, except you would reveal to me really who I am, I'll be in no better shape. Because if I hadn't thought it was right, I wouldn't have done it. But I thought it was right at the time, and the Lord had to come back and say, Dan, I wasn't in that one. You need to go back and take care of that one. There's another story that gives us an example. We heard about it in this meeting already, the prodigal son. When he comes to his father and he says, give me those things that belong to me. Now, there's some things about that story that I don't really understand, because if it had been me, I'd have told my boy, I'm still alive. You'll be heading out on your own without any money. You're going to have to go work for it. But this one, he says that he divided up his inheritance with him. And the boy went out and spoofed it. It's gone in a little bit. You know, those kind of things will cause reaction. Their action causes reaction in us. It caused a reaction in the father. He's gone for a long time, and it says he comes to himself. He realized, you know what, the servants at my dad's house had it better than I do. I'm going back. I'm willing to be a servant. And he starts home. Wonder what his thoughts were as he's heading home. You know, that's a long ways to come down from having left as one of the sons. And now I'm returning just hoping that he would let me be a servant because I need to be able to eat. You know, his father and his reaction was so important at that time. Wonder how many days, it doesn't tell us, how many days had the father been looking down the road? Not with the thought he won't be able to make it another day. He never could take care of his money when he was at home. He's going to be running out. Yep, he'll be coming back again. I expect it any day. It wasn't that way with the father. When he did see him, he didn't say, I tell you what, he can walk here to where I am. Said he ran to meet him. And with compassion. There were so many things he could have said. He could have said, look at your raggedy clothes. You left out of here with much better clothes than that. What'd you do with it? You smell. You know, he did just come from feeding pigs. But I tell you what, I'm going to do my father's duty. And I'm going to take you back in again. Boy, you know, that would have made so much difference of how the son felt instead of, if it had been that way, instead of the compassion that was showed to him. But when his father gives him the hug and tells his servants, kill the fatted calf, my son was lost and now he's back home again. I am so happy. That was a long time ago. And yet, we're faced with that same story today. I think about those that make choices to go away. And I have to take inventory of my heart and say, should today they want to return, how easy would I make it for them? Would it be arms outstretched? Been longing. Because the elder son, he also had an attitude. breathed when he saw it. Dad, I've been with you all this time, and you never killed a fatted calf for me. This son, he's been out doing wicked living, and you're celebrating. I will not go in and celebrate with you. You don't think the younger son realized that also? If he's going to stay home, he's going to have to plow through that kind of attitude. And I say for myself, with these examples that we have looked at today, Lord help me. Because I look at so many occasions today in the world around us, choices that people are making, that I would have the love that Abraham had. Father, tell you what, in this world, if you could just find 10, Father Abraham, if you could just find 10, would you spare the city? Or have I been praying, Lord, it's about time for you to wrap this thing up. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Think of one more verse. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, the woman, when she brought the alabaster box of ointment and she broke it there on Jesus, he said, what this woman hath done is going to be a memorial for me down through the ages. You know, just like that is a memorial to us today of what she did, Jonah is a memorial to us today of what he did. The father that received his son back with so much compassion is a memorial for us to remember today. And the son that said, it makes me upset that you've allowed him to come home, is also a memorial for me to remember. You know, I think if Jonah could have just, I don't know how all that came about. As Jonah is running along and these things are going on in his mind, it seemed like it's been so good if there had been a reporter there with him and say, Jonah, I'm writing this down. They're going to be reading about it thousands of years from now. You want to change it? You want to make a change before I write this down and send it on? You know, really, that's the way it is with our life. If it's going to be passed down to others, Lord, help me before I ever let it come into existence, that I will do it the way you had done it. There's a song I'd like to close with. Let us help our fallen brother lift him gently by the hand, speaking words of cheer and comfort, point him to a better land. Kind and loving to each other, gentle words to all we meet. Thus we follow Christ our Savior, proving all his service sweet. When the heart is sad and lonely and the eyes with tears overflow, gentle words and deeds of kindness point like sunbeams on the snow. Kind and loving to each other, gentle words to all we meet. Thus we follow Christ our Savior, prove being all his service sweet. When Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house, Mary chose. She made a choice. I want to sit at his feet. There's some things I need to learn. And Martha was busy with the things that needed to be done around. I think of that song that we sing, number 175, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious, may it find me there each day. That my desire would be, you know what I realize? If I go on my own, if I make choices on my own, I'm not going to be a help to those around me. If I even choose to do it with a driving way, it won't be the same as when I can draw. And Lord, I don't have the ability on my own. That song that says, I am learning of my Savior, precious lessons every hour. You know what? I don't want to just learn them. I want them to put them to practice in my life, that I can be a better help to those around me. I desire your prayers.